M42. 1 and 2 Samuel. The David Story. Number 1A.
We start with the interpretation of Samuel, first and second book of Samuel, which contains the story of David. Before I want to go through the David story, point by point, I would like first to set the stage for what we are going to do. Therefore, I first would like to talk about Bible interpretation, which is a specific kind of text interpretation. What does the Bible try to convey? The Bible tries to convey that spiritual language, which is the language of the Infinite One. It is a spiritual language, therefore a spiritual communication, a spiritual presentation of the Infinite One's own being. That spiritual reality interpreting itself to humanity by translating itself from the spiritual language into human language characterizes really those old writings of all the great religions. And as we are coming from the Judean Christian history, we have the Bible as a text book that is written by inspiration. The inspired writers wrote what they heard spiritually in the realm of being and tried to spell it out in the human language. So, if we want to interpret the Bible rightly, we must see that we do not start with the biblical text and try to interpret the biblical text, because that is already a translation from the original language, the language of spirit. In order to be able to interpret the biblical language, therefore we really should first know the spiritual language of being, in order to be able to read in the human symbolization of the Bible the spiritual message. Now, at the time the Bible was written, you know, it was written, say, between 950 BC, and the main body was about accomplished after the Babylonic captivity, around about 500 BC. Only a few prophets wrote afterwards, so the main body was actually written between, say, 1000 and 500 BC. It was written by a nation, by a race, by a culture that hardly knew an alphabet, that did not know how to think in abstract ideas. At that time, this was unknown. Abstract thinking only started in Greek around about 500 BC, and we know that Israel did not want to be contaminated by the Greeks. For Israel, the Greeks were abomination. And so Greek influence was very slight, even up to the time of Jesus. Therefore, we have in the Old Testament a text that is written in a language that uses very crude symbols instead of abstract symbols the way we teach today a subject. Therefore, if today we are educated in thinking in abstract ideas and in abstract terms, we should not try to think that the Bible is also written in abstract symbols, but must first realize that those symbols were crude symbols that first need to be translated into exact abstract ideas. The biblical writers used all kinds of symbols in order to symbolize that spiritual message, the spiritual language. They used especially old myths, legends, half-hidden Jewish history, then nature, what they could see in nature, the processes in nature. They would use all their natural surroundings, their customs, their activities as farmers, as shepherds, and so on. That was their vocabulary. It wasn't a vocabulary of abstract ideas. Therefore, when we use a vocabulary that is bound to symbols of legends, myths, etc., then a message is always much longer than if it is written in abstract ideas. You know that from your own experience, perhaps. I always think, how can one teach a child for the first time, say, what is honesty, when the child doesn't know the term honesty? Well, then you have to go back to the old way of telling the child a little story, just to bring out one term, honesty. So honesty as an abstract symbol would have to be closed into a nice, long, exciting little story that the child would understand. In the same way, the biblical writers who had to symbolize very definite ideas of God, they had to use those long stories, elaborated stories, and one can see that as they were told in the evening around the fire, perhaps by grandpa to the little child, that from generation to generation these stories always got more involved and more involved and more beautified and so on, just to bring out the same thing. Therefore, we must see that the language of the Bible is a very crude language and therefore must first be translated into more abstract, simple language. It isn't so that we feel that the Bible should be rewritten so that one can understand all the things they were telling. So many things are not understandable when one reads them because one doesn't know Jewish history, because one doesn't know perhaps Jewish customs, because one doesn't know perhaps the whole world concept that they had at that time, which is very different from our world concept, so that one has first to think into that kind of world view that they had in order to catch the tone of the ideas they wanted to convey. Again, we come to tonality. Again, we see that reading the Bible is not reading terms, is not reading stories, but is actually reading tones of ideas, tonality of ideas. And there we encounter now for our study the great difficulty that the Bible uses, therefore, other terms than we have in our list of ideas. The Bible does not use, so to say, the seven synonymous terms to explain the nature of God. The Old Testament does not know mind, a little bit perhaps here and there spirit, perhaps as a breath, that was perhaps spirit, didn't use soul, had no conception of a term like principle. Principle was not invented at that time, that term. That was the invention of the Greeks later on. They used very little the term life, and never as a capitalized term, life, nor capitalized truth, nor capitalized love. So, the Bible speaks about God in the tonality of mind and in the tonality of spirit and soul, principle, life, truth, and love, without using the term, the seven synonymous terms. We have the ideas characterizing each synonymous term, and the Bible hardly uses those terms when they are writing about the ideas of God. They don't use the term as we use them, like law. The commandments were commandments, not laws. Laws were not invented at that time, not discovered at that time. The whole world did not know what a law is. The concept of law was absolutely foreign at that time, the way we use law today. They did not know anything about order, about rules, about system, about method, about form, and gestalt, and plan, and design. These were completely unknown concepts as term. But the ideas existed, because the Bible speaks about the eternal reality, and the reality has never changed. The Bible speaks about that eternal reality which is forever and ever, which existed since time immemorial and will go on existing. And the prophets the biblical writers tried to explain this reality, but they did not have the tools of the language to express it exactly. So most of the terms we have as ideas of the seven synonymous terms are not in the Bible, or if they are in the Bible, they are used in a different meaning. And yet, the Bible was able to express these ideas, but every time they had to use a nice story about it. See? If they wanted to bring out that mind is power, they couldn't say mind is power. Nobody would have understood, because power was an abstract idea, and the real sense of power is something that was only understood later on in our age, in our technical age. Therefore, they had to use symbols. They would say instead that mind is power. They would perhaps say that the Lord came down from the holy mountain and tread on the hills, so that the hills were trodden down as wax before the fire. And they tell that through a few nice long verses, and the term power does not appear. But you can feel that they are expressing the idea of power. That the Lord is an omnipotent power and nothing can resist it. He comes down and treads on the hill, and you just can see how the hills were trodden flat, and that nothing could resist it. There was no power that could resist the omnipotence of mind, and that it was giving way just as wax before the fire. The wax cannot stand against the fire. The fire just melts the wax. This is biblical language. Therefore, we must see that it is of no use to try to read the Bible verbally, literally. Not even use to take those terms in the Bible and try to interpret those terms. This is not the meaning of biblical writing. We must take a whole tone of what they write and translate it into modern language or into ideas. Just as I have shown with this example, which I always like from the prophets, they give a terrific sense of power without using the term power. Therefore, in interpreting the Bible, we must have within ourselves the tonality of that spiritual language, of that original language of being, which we can culture through the textbook. The textbook gives us a means how to culture the tonality of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and gives us a means to hear in all its varied blendings, really, and in its various hues, really, the tonality of the seven. If we have that, then we can read the Bible and not read the words, but the tonality that is behind the illustrations. Whatever they are, if they are illustrations of a process in nature, of an evolution in nature, if it's a process that goes on in history, or is symbolized through a story, through a myth, through a legend, through a saga, through the traditional stories of the tribe, or anything like that, it gives us a means that we can detect behind those illustrations the abstract idea. That is the way the Bible is interpreted in the language of Christian Science. You can therefore see that we use an absolutely different method than theology uses. So, if you consider John Dolly's contribution to the Bible interpretation, you must keep in mind the process, the method that lies behind it. If we don't realize that, we'll fall back again into interpreting the Bible as any inspired reader would do it. We are not allowed to let inspiration take over and let inspiration interpret the Bible. If we do that, then we rank in the same category as all those tens of thousands of biblical readers that have been reading the Bible since 2,000 years and have been writing inspired books about the Bible, interpreting the Bible in their inspired way, filling whole libraries with biblical books and interpretation, interpreting all the various happenings and verses and legends and everything in their way, in their inspired way, and we have seen that our inspired way is a personal inspiration, is our inspiration, the way it speaks to us, to our human sense, to our personal approach, and this is not good enough. Therefore, John Dolley is not an interpreter of the Bible that can be put in the same category as all, and I say all, interpreter of the Bible have been interpreting the Bible. He's not the 10,001 that is interpreting now the Bible differently than the 10,000 before. He's not in that category. He made a clear-cut distinction and began a completely new category of interpretation. This has not always been seen by his students. They have mistaken that or overlooked that and have been going on interpreting the Bible just as any inspired Christian would interpret the Bible and find in every verse and in every little detail a wonderful inspiration and a wonderful application and I don't know what. But this is not John Dolley's teaching. John Dolley's teaching is of a completely different category, which can only be understood when we see the way he has been going. He has not approached the Bible as a Christian scientist in the common term of the word. He has first studied the textbook, and has first studied the textbook in order to culture his consciousness in the categories, in the three great categories of being, of the seven, the four, and the four. Therefore, his interpretation is from the divine system of reference. It's not his interpretation. And this is a big point that one has to make very, 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 very clear. That the Bible as he has given it to us is not his interpretation. Anyway, he did not try. It may be that perhaps later on one sees that here or there something crept in that may be his interpretation, but in his whole presentation, he presented the Bible as interpreted by the system of reference, and not by him. And it's a terrific difference. Therefore, he first structured his consciousness in the tonality of those categories. Just as we have started now in the syllabus class to try to culture our consciousness in the seven synonymous terms, so that the tonality becomes clearer and more definite within us. And only with that kind of consciousness did he approach the Bible. So first was the textbook, then the textbook was the key to open the Bible. Therefore, he spent those critical years where he began to see the signs of Christian Science. He spent the first few critical years all on the textbook. At that time, we hardly opened the Bible. At that time, we just put our nose right into the textbook over years and years and years, just getting hold of the seven and the four. At that time, just culturing ourselves within those seven and four. And only when he had that cultured sense, only when he had discovered the blending of the seven with the seven, so that he could not be sidetracked by combinations. Only when he had seen even that blending could define and analyze when something was a blending and when was and what was the intrinsic nature of the synonymous terms. Then he went back to the Bible. It was, so to say, from one year to the other, around about 1946, for the first time he tackled the Bible, and he gave that momentous week in Zurich. For the first time he explained the whole Bible from the standpoint of the seventh synonymous term. Then he went back to London and started with those weekly Bible talks, which are now in print, starting with the first day of creation, with the days of creation, and going right through the Bible. So let's see his way. He did not approach the Bible inspirationally. He approached the Bible with a scientific structure consciousness. And it's something completely different. Naturally, we know now that a scientifically structured consciousness is at the point of principle, and that when that consciousness is cultured, that then that consciousness lends itself for inspiration, life. So inspiration does also enter, but as an outcome of a structured consciousness that is cultured in the capitalized terms well enough to hear really the tonality in a story, in a text, and does not need to read words. So you can see that has never been done. That up to that point, because mankind has never known the system lying behind the signs of being. Therefore, up to that point, never could anybody ever have interpreted the Bible in the language that was original to being. It was always interpreted in a personal, inspired way. And this is a point I can't stress clear enough, so that we are not tempted to fall back again to the old flesh pots of Egypt and say, inspiration is good enough for me. Why do I have to get out of that and learn very diligently the system of Christian Science and culture my consciousness and drill my consciousness into a new system of reference? Why not go back to that lovely, soft, inspirational sense of the Bible? It tells me so much, and it helps me so much, and it is such balm to my heart, and it helps people, and so on. This is all not scientific. And we better look it straight into the eye, and don't let us be fooled any longer. We have to see that not we interpret the Bible, but that the divine system interprets the Bible, so that the interpretation is always system intrinsic.